Ever wonder how a Comic-Con comes together? Here are two guys that know, because it's what they do every day. It's the Con Men Podcast. Now for another mediocre podcast attempt, it's Greg Adams and Puff.
It's the Con Men Podcast. Greg Adams over here and a man over there who threatened before leaving the studio and coming back in to make this a very dark episode.
Yeah, we're making it dark.
It's Puff. I don't know what you mean, what you intend, what you have planned.
I have no plans.
Okay. Then I'm not as worried anymore. When you left and said it's about to be dark, it sounded like you had a plan.
Well, actually, when I came back in, I was going to turn out the lights. But
that would have been cheap. That's a cheap pop.
But then Greer, the engineer, came in to get pizza, and I didn't want him to finger my pizza, so
I
left the lights on.
We were going to do a pizza party episode, but we thought that it would be unnecessary to eat into the microphones.
Yeah. This episode of the Con Men Podcast brought to you by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's a long way for that one, but okay, I'll allow it. This episode actually... We start off the way we always start off. Let's explain why we're here doing what we do. We help run GeekedCon in Shreveport, Louisiana. It's a sixth-year Comic-Con event at the Shreveport Convention Center every August. The whole point of the podcast is to talk about the inner workings of these type of events. We get a lot of questions. I've gotten a lot of questions over the last 5 years about how we make decisions, how we look at things, what are some of the behind-the-scenes stories. So we decided to do a podcast where we talk about a lot of that stuff. We're trying to chop it up and do a little bit here and a little bit there, so we're not doing an eight-hour long, just, I mean, it would even go for more than 8 hours, right, if we tried to lay it all out at once.
Oh, yeah. We should do that. Just have like a 24-hour podcast. See how many people download it.
I'm not interested in participating in this. You
just
can go ahead. You
just
can
load up on monsters and white crosses and go, baby.
We would have to get like... Slurpee cups and fill them with nothing but 5 hour energies and just slam them.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Because each one of those counts for like another 5 hours, right? So if you drink like four, that's like a 20 hour energy.
I've tried that, and when the crash hits you, it's like game over. You just got to stay ahead of that wave.
So what we do is we take a little bit of working on a Comic-Con and we talk about it every episode, but we mix in some other stuff. We try to talk about some generalized geek things, and we always have our little Chewbacca over here who has a whole bunch of random questions in his head, and we'll pull one of those out, and sometimes we'll answer those questions. But for the main point of this whole thing, we're talking about what it's like to run a Comic-Con.
Yeah, that is, we do it. In fact, we have some hard decisions to make. Can't really get into details because that would spoil some surprises, potential surprise. Well, it'll be all surprises to you people, but yeah, we got some things in the works, but we have like three things in the balance and one of them's got to go.
I was going to say, I wonder if we can get through this without specifics. So we did want to talk about booking guests today, and we've talked about booking guests before, and we'll talk about booking guests in the future. Because the art and the act of doing it, it's not just a one, like, we couldn't get through it.
It's probably the hardest thing you're going to do, because getting the venue, you basically just show up, hey, we got insurance, we got money, let's do this.
Yeah, there's protocol to follow there.
Yeah, like, there's rules. When it comes to guests, it's just...
it's the Wild West.
Yeah, because not only are you fighting with other conventions and making sure your date lines up with other people's schedules, but then you got the guys that are like, nah, I don't want to do it. And then they come back and you wanted, hey, we want to do it. And then you got, well, we already booked this guy in a slot. How do we make this work? And it's probably the most difficult and maddening thing that you will go through while trying to put one of these things together.
And I will argue, and you know, I'm a spreadsheet guy. I have 19 spreadsheets for every aspect of this. So even with all the analytics parts, I do think that the guest list is probably the most important part of a continuous running event. Once you get past year three, the guest list is now the most important part. Once you get off the ground and build a foundation, there are a lot of more important aspects to it. It's not Field of Dreams. You can't just get a whole bunch of celebrities and expect everything to work out. There's a lot that goes into the first few years. But once you get past that, the guest lineup becomes the most important thing, because it is what drives people to these shows. And I know there are people who want to argue on the internet that there are different aspects to it. That is the most important part, that that's what drives people. There are things that drive small percentages of people to these events. But when you cross into a territory where you're attracting mainstream audiences, you have to attract mainstream people with mainstream guests. You have to get somebody who otherwise wouldn't go to this show into this show in order to grow.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Vendors are great. I love vendors. I spend money with our vendors every single year. But there's nothing that a vendor at our convention or any convention in America has that I can't buy online. So there's got to be something to get people there to see the vendors and buy the things. And those are the guests. Those are what grab the attention. That's what make people decide whether they want to go or don't want to go. You got to find something to hook them, to bring them in the door.
And it's such a delicate balance because the vendors are important.
Yes.
If you showed up and it was just a bunch of celebrities with tables to sell autographs, it wouldn't be that interesting.
No.
You need to have your vendors there selling wares. You need to have activities there. You need to have your panels. You need to have all of that stuff happening. But the panels and the vendors and the cosplay and your activities are going to be happening, your cosplay contest, that's going to generate activity or movement from a small group of people.
It's like added value. This is the main thing that we do here, which is, you know, you have celebrities, comic book guests, whatever, to attract people in. And then the added value is, well, while I'm here, not only do I get to meet Billy West, but I can go over here and buy this comic book I've been looking for. Or, you know, I can find this great wizard wand for this Halloween party I'm going to, or whatever the case may be. It's added value. As opposed to, like, if you just had a vendor floor where you would get some people, just like a flea market or a mall or anything else, but you wouldn't have the same volume of people.
Yeah, and I want to take a step back. We're thinking through the lens of our particular event. There are other events that are fine just operating with only a vendor floor and a very small guest lineup. There are shows, there honestly are shows, where there are just guests and there aren't vendors. All of those are completely fine and can be done. We're looking at this through the lens of our event, and if your event is going to be like a straightforward pop culture type event, these are some of the things you're going to need to consider.
But also, in all fairness, those events that we've that you're kind of mentioning that they're niche. They have like a very passionate fan base, a very loyal fan base that continually go back, the same kind of vendors, the same kind of people, but it's not a thing that's going to grow to 50,000 people on a Saturday night.
And if that's not what your show, if you want your show to be, that's cool.
You have to have targets and goals for what you want your event to do.
I've actually been to a couple of those, like, smaller ones, those low-key ones, and those are great.
Yeah, they're
like
fun.
But if your intent is to build it, you have to go this direction. If your intent is to have that event and just keep it running as long as possible, then you don't have to go down this path. If you get into the guest world, though, we're going to talk about some of the guest aspects that even if you are a smaller event with a small guest lineup and you don't plan on getting bigger, some of the things about guests that we can talk about will even help you there.
Yeah, we have friends that run small Comic-Cons or small conventions where they might only have 5 or 6 guests, but it's extremely successful for their plan, but you still have to pick the right guest to piggyback and pair with what you're trying to do.
Which kind of brings us, and I wanted to maybe get a little bit into some of our dilemmas, but I don't think there's a way to talk about our current dilemmas without spoiling things.
Well, we could always use a past situation because we've run into this same situation every year where we think we have what we want and then things change and then you have to start making hard decisions.
So, we can tell a couple of stories very specifically that play into what we're dealing with now. The year that comes to mind is 2017, and it might be the same topic you were talking about. So in 2017, when we first start putting the guest list together, and yeah, by the way, this is going to be pulling the curtain back, all details on the table. So if you've been waiting for one of these deep stories, here it is. 2017, we're putting the guest list together, and we have our sights set on a particularly I don't want to say, yeah, he's a large guest. We have our headliner, basically. Our headliner is negotiating with us. Everything sounds great. Lou Ferrigno is going to be coming. Like, we've got the details on this. We're like, oh, yeah, we got Lou Ferrigno. This is going to be awesome.
Well, so, just to go back, Lou Ferrigno, getting Lou Ferrigno here started our first year. Because if you remember, I called, he was one of, him and Peter Mayhew were like two of the first people I reached out to when we were putting this together. We had to wait for Peter. That's a whole nother story that we can tell another time. But basically, Lou got back with us and he's like, yeah, I booked like a year and a half out. Like, so hit me up next year. I'd love to do it. Sounds like an interesting show. You seem like good people, but I'm already booked. Contact us later.
And I think in 2016, he was already booked somewhere. He has a show that he normally does.
Yep, he was already had commitments, so we had to punt that year. So finally, we get to 2017. We're getting them.
Somebody's using the force to choke me out over here. So we finally get him. He agrees in principle, basically a verbal agreement.
Yeah, like
phone,
we talked to him. Hey, that sounds great. Send me the paperwork.
Yep,
we'll get this done.
So from that point, we go, all right, now let's find the direction. Let's see what we can do. We have a big Marvel comic book TV. He was in the Marvel MCU movies. He's contributing to the voice of the Hulk in the Avengers film.
Cartoons as well.
Like we've got this big geek headliner. So let's start filling this thing out. And that year was the year that we really zeroed in on Billy West. We said we want to get Billy West. So we had got Billy West on, and we had an interesting offer come across for Joey Fatone from NSYNC. And it was weird for us. Now, not weird, because we did Tara Reid the year before. We had Tara Reid come in, who is more of a mainstream pop culture movie. She had done the Sharknado films, but she's more known for mainstream pop culture than anything particularly.
American Pie.
The Big Lebowski.
That too.
Those type of things that are more mainstream comedy, not necessarily comic book geek. So we get Joey Fatone, and we're like, you know what? Let's see if we can capture some magic here.
And just going back to several episodes ago, sometimes you got to throw things at the wall just to see if they work. And that's sort of where we were with Joey Fatone. Have no idea where he's going to fit in, but we got a couple of other slots filled out that should carry the load. Let's bring in Joey and see how the audience responds.
Well, and he's a big geek, too. Yeah. He was excited to do these type of events. So we're like, you know what? At least he'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even if maybe it doesn't translate into a lot of people coming to see him, he's going to be at least a good guest and we'll have a good time.
He certainly was an entertaining man. He did a certain dance in my presence that is still burned in my memory. Thank you for that, Joey.
Joey Fatone is really fun. Now, while we get Joey Fatone locked in, and I think we had Billy West locked in at this point,
mm-hmm.
we get a phone call from Lou to let us know the dates just aren't going to work for him. He's got some other stuff going on.
And basically, his wife said he was working too much. Like, so, sweetheart, you got to take some time off the road, stay home, hang out with the fam.
So he pulls out and gracefully declines and tells us, mm-hmm. you know, next year, we're definitely in for next year. So that puts us in a weird situation where, as far as the headliners go, we now have Joey Fatone and Billy West, and we thought Lou Ferrigno, and now we're sitting here like, what are we going to do? So we made kind of an emergency, I don't want to say knee-jerk reaction, but it was one of those...
Somebody contacted us and was available, and it was like, well, that wouldn't be too terrible.
Well, and what we looked at was, we had in our mind an idea. So like when you're talking about laying out brands or genres, if you're a general Comic-Con event where you want to try to touch on a whole bunch of things, if you're like an anime festival, you know you're just getting anime guests. If you're a horror festival, you know you're just getting horror guests. If you're strictly comic books and not media, then you're just booking comic book artists and writers. But when you're trying to do the whole pop culture event, like what our event is,
you need a little bit of everything.
So in our minds, we kind of already had, like, okay, we need a Marvel star. We need a comic book-oriented star. We need somebody who's got face recognition. We need this headliner to cover all the bases that Lou Ferrigno did, or as many of them as we could get. And the name that actually came across was Kelly Hu. She was Lady Deathstrike in the original trilogy of X-Men movies. She had been in Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. She had done a lot of geek stuff, but she was also very recognizable outside of that. She also had a lot of runs in other TV shows. Hawaii Five-O, I think, was one of them.
And she, for all the folks that were into the celebrity poker tournaments that they show on ESPN and stuff, she was involved in a lot of those.
Yeah, I think she was. Did she? She might have run some World Series of Poker events at some point. She might have actually been like.
Oh yeah, she did some main table stuff, kind of like Shannon Elizabeth and
Jennifer Tilly.
And Jennifer Tilly, where they're very successful poker players. But the point is, she had a large base, covered a lot of the things that we were looking Lou Ferrigno to cover. So it was just she came up at the right time. We have our guest.
I don't want to say it as a knee jerk, but it was an immediate response. It was, okay, we've lost Lou. Let's get Kelly Hu. So we booked Kelly and we're trying to fill out the rest of the guest list. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember if it was an email or if it was a text message or a phone call, but we hear from Lou. And Lou says, hey guys, I want in. What do we got to do to make this happen? And we're sitting back and we're like, well,
we just spent the money we're going to spend on you, guy.
We just booked Kelly Hu to kind of replace you. That's locked. That's a done deal. We've already got Billy West and we've got Joey Fatone. I mean, it's great to have Lou Ferrigno, so let's just add Lou Ferrigno. So we ended up having a response because we thought we had it. Mm. And then he went away. And so we made a move, and then he comes back into the fold. So we ended up going from having it to having nothing to then all of a sudden we have that plus more.
Plus the added benefit of we hadn't filled out the rest of the lineup and spent the rest of our budget so we could figure out a way to make Lou work.
Yeah.
If he would have got with us a week or two later, yes, it probably would have not worked out the way it did.
Which is similar to the situation that we are in now, where the spreadsheets are filled up, the budgets are effectively completely gone, and then we have somebody who rolls up and says, hey, I know that we talked before, and I said I couldn't do it. I said I would do it, and then I said I couldn't do it, and now I'm back to say that I would do it. And we're like, well,
yeah. Basically, we're in a situation where we have three spots left and four people vying for those spots.
Well, but those other three are already...
Paperwork has been sent out. We just need...
verbal commitments have been made.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be there, because all is fair in love and war in this.
Well, and because there was already a verbal commitment with this individual, too, so it's like, well...
Yeah.
And I don't know how... I don't know that you're ever going to solve that issue.
It's something that literally happens... Every year is just one of them things that you have to navigate the waters delicately, and if you can't make it work for the year you're currently working on, hopefully you save the relationship enough where you can do it again the next year.
And it's not even a matter of, I think the first thing that people will respond with, well, oh, we'll always just save an extra spot. Just save a spot because you never know what's going to happen. There are also years where we have struggled to put a lineup together, and there hasn't been anybody that comes down after the fact. There hasn't been... that person. So if we would have saved that money, we would have had to say no to somebody that we were looking at, and they would have went their different direction. They would have found something else, because pretty much every single weekend there is a different event. So you're always competing with something else, and not just their work and their family, but there are other Comic-Cons out there. So if you say no, they're going to go find something else. You can't just wait. You can't say, like, we'll consider you. Please don't book anything else. We're just going to wait to see if anyone better than you shows up over the summer, and then we'll book them instead.
Yeah, you kind of have to get their name on paper while they're available and willing, because there's other things they can do almost at a drop of the hat.
And you might tell that person, no, that's all right, and then wait for somebody bigger, and then you get 2 weeks out from your show and realize there's nobody else. There's nothing else. We punted on this guest that would have been great for our event in hopes that there would have been somebody else, and that somebody else never showed up.
And there's also been times where someone's like, yeah, that sounds good, and you negotiate and you go back and forth, and next thing you know, 3 months have gone by, nothing, you really haven't gotten anywhere, and it's like, oh crap, what are we going to do now? So, I mean, you kind of just got to pull the trigger when you can, take the shots that you're given, and hope things work out for the best.
That's after doing this for a few years, I am a big fan of just taking advantage of the opportunities you have when they're presented. You can't really guarantee tomorrow. You can't really guarantee availabilities in this industry. So, and we've run into issues where there are people like Lou who say, you know, I book this far out if you want. And that seems to be increasingly more popular with certain guests. And then other guests are almost offended if you ask them too early. Well, I don't book until 6 weeks out from a show. Okay, well, it's really hard to put this lineup together when the people that we're targeting want to be booked out 18 months in advance, and you don't want to be booked until 6 weeks out.
And the other thing is that when it comes to putting together a lineup, the earlier, the better, because the more people you have on a piece of paper that you can take to sponsors or potential vendors or whatever, you know, the more it's going to help your show grow. So it's a fine line, booking guests, it's all over the place. It's never going to be smooth, but you know, you just work it the best you can and try to get as many names as quickly as possible.
And we can just tell you what works for us. So there are different shows where they don't want to have their lineup completed until like 3 months out. Again, that's fine if it works. But if you're starting to see maybe tickets decline or your guests aren't doing as well at the show, then maybe you do need to reevaluate and start doing it further in advance. I know of some shows that are extremely successful that end their yearly show with announcements for next year's show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are successful shows that do it both ways.
There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just doing it what works best for you.
Be mindful of it. Don't just think that you know the answer. Keep an open mind. And that actually, the guest conversation that I have written down plays into that a little bit. It's a conversation we've touched on briefly in the past. But when you are looking at guests, try to allow your market to guide you. Your particular market, your city, your county, your parish, your metro, whatever it is, allow that area to make booking decisions for you.
Yeah, like for instance, there's a certain guest that we booked this year based on the popularity of a movie release. Like this is someone we passed on in the past. A new movie came out that one of us happened to go to the theater to see, and it's like, holy crap, the response to this movie, I had no idea. So we went ahead and booked it. It was just one of those things where we saw something in our local market and was like, we need to hop on that train. That's awesome.
And it can be something that's that obvious and in your face and right now. It can be something like history. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to research your area, and not just history of maybe previous appearances. If maybe there was a sci-fi expo in your market a decade ago that doesn't exist now, and you know that some particular people were at that and they did well, maybe look at bringing those people back. Or, like our exact market here in Shreveport, we are a huge pro wrestling town. Mid-South pro wrestling called our city home for a decade in the 70s and 80s. This place was a hotbed of wrestling talent. And so when you're putting together a pop culture event, you can tap into that history. And we saw it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We booked Hacksaw Jim Duggan in...
was that 2018?
2017 maybe. That was the same year with Lou Ferrigno and Sam J. Jones.
Oh, yeah, because Sam stole your sweater.
Sam, I will get that sweater back one day, Sam J. Jones. Mark my words. But Hacksaw Jim Duggan came out, and he and his wife... fantastic couple, great people, and were completely blown away by the response they had.
Yeah, they had to take multiple trips to Home Depot to get 2x4s cut.
Yep, because he, of course, it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's going to sign 2x4s. And they've got this down to a science. They know how big a market is, how big a show is, how many 2x4s they'll need. So they came with the amount that they thought they would need. And it was not the amount that they needed. They needed way more.
They basically had to double their order, or triple.
Well, I think they ended up making 6 or 7 trips. So it was way more than they anticipated. Like, if you know that you've brought what you think is enough and you have to go back to get more, you might get a little bit more thinking, okay, I don't want to make another trip. But they were literally making 6 to 7 trips over 2 days to get lumber, which is... probably weird for the people who are cutting those boards, but like they know exactly what the measurements need to be. They know what kind of wood they need. They, because again, they are professionals at this type of event, that doing appearances. They know exactly what needs to be done. But because Hacksaw Jim Duggan was a mainstay here for a decade, people in this market love him. And it still rang true 20 years after the fact.
Yeah. Mick Foley also, and Kevin Nash, all pretty much everybody we've had from the pro wrestling universe have had great times and were very successful here in Shreveport because of our market.
And that's something that maybe if you have a market, so maybe you have a pro sports team or a college team that is close to your market, and maybe there's a big star from that area that you might have access to. It's not outside, it's not crazy to consider something even like that. So if you're somewhere in Texas and somehow you find a chance to book maybe a big Dallas Cowboys star.
Or Ricky Williams.
Maybe, yeah, a big UT star. If you're in Florida and you might have a chance to book a Florida Gator football star, or a Florida State Seminole, like if you have opportunities that may not be obvious, look to your market. See if you can maybe learn something from the market.
And remember, just because people, well, that doesn't belong at this type of event, remember, 90% of comic book stores are also sports memorabilia stores. Yep. There's a reason for that. And it's not because it's crazy and outside the box. It's because both of those worlds meet together, because fanatics and fans of things are fanatics and fans of things. And usually there's a large crossover for, you know, your mid-30s male or whatever.
Well, for me, like, our event is called GeekedCon because we're focusing on geeks. Everyone is a geek. It depends on what you're a geek about. Are you a geek about building computers? Are you a geek about playing video games? Are you a geek about comic books? Are you a geek about sports? It's all the same. Like, we're all in this together, and I really don't like the gatekeeping approach to, like, I get to decide what's geeky, you don't. As far as I'm concerned, if people are geeky about it and they create a hobby about it, I don't care if it's bird watching. You can be geeky about birds. That's fine. And so if somebody wants to come to an event and talk about their... If they wanted to come into GeekCon, they wanted to buy a vendor booth to talk about their bird watching society, go for it. Let's do it. There are going to be people who are geeks about that stuff that also happen to love comic books.
Yeah, we had the... What was it? The reptile guy. People loved it. And we're like, how do I get a snake? How do I take care of them if I get one? Like, the dude was just there. I forget. He's got, like, a snake sanctuary or whatever. Yep. But people were asking, like, hey, if I go get a snake, what's the best way to take care of it? How do I feed them? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was incredible, the questions this guy. I think he was, like, one of the first people that called us up, like, after the event. Like, hey, can we do that again?
That's, I mean, it's sort of the same, but I'll go back to the vendor conversation where... we had guys selling mattresses.
Yeah.
And people thought, well, you shouldn't have mattress vendors there. Well, let's be fair here and point out that they were setting up to show you how easy it is on their mattresses to play video games from your bed. And by the way, they sold $30,000 worth of beds during a three-day event. So do they belong? If the people who are coming to this event and support the culture are buying products from those people, then I believe they absolutely belong.
Absolutely.
And I think that falls with the guests, too. If you see a guest at an event that you yourself think, oh, well, they don't belong in this culture, and then you see a line in front of their table and people happy that they're getting their picture taken with that person, you probably shouldn't demean that in any way.
I've only been mad at one vendor I've ever seen at any convention I've ever been to. The Wait. Florida tourist
oh, yeah.
guy, just because every time I walk by, hey, will you want to sign up for a free trip? It was cute the first time, sweetheart. Quit asking.
I should have known that answer as soon as you said it, because I was trying to think, like, well, wait a second. But no, we were at that show, and there was somebody that we were talking to that we kept walking down the same aisle.
Well, they had like this awesome like memorabilia/autograph booth right
oh, that
in
was
front
right.
of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, that's what it was. And so that, every time we walked over there to look at it, they would hit you.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Universal Studios, come on in. Disney World, come on in. But the Florida Travel Agency, because it wasn't like even the Tourism Bureau, it was just some weird travel agency, can kiss my butt.
That is a personal opinion, does not reflect GeekCon or its subsidiaries. If you would like to purchase a booth at GeekCon, you can email me directly, greg.adams@townsquaremedia.com, or find vendor info at geekcon.com. You're more than welcome at our event.
No. No,
yes.
You're not.
Yes.
I will make your weekend living hell.
Nope. I will prevent it. I will put him on the worst duty that I could think of.
I'd rather go to Alabama than Florida.
What's wrong with Alabama?
Nothing. I'm just saying it's better in Florida because everywhere is better than Florida.
Wow. I didn't realize there was a deep seated. I thought that was just about the way that they approached you.
They did. They turned me off the state of Florida. That's how angry they made me.
This isn't like a deeper Florida thing.
Oh, no.
Okay.
They just ruined Florida for me. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right. We're going to grab our little Chewbacca guy. We're going to pull a...
Hold on. You and I have been pretty pumped about the Batman. The new movie, Matt Reeves Batman movie. So we got important things to discuss here because we're starting to get some set photos.
I was going
to
say,
rumored plot lines.
Do rumored plot lines count as spoilers?
I wouldn't say so because nothing's been confirmed as of yet, but between... the information that's coming out from the director on Twitter paired with what people are visually seeing happening while they're filming in London and stuff. This movie sounds pretty damn incredible.
Back in the day, I used to be very critical of castings. I stopped that practice when Heath Ledger was the Joker in The Dark Knight because I... was very critical of that casting initially, and we all know how it ended up.
Mm.
And so from that point on, I am not ready to critique castings. I will question in a way, like, well, how's that going to work? I think that's different than critiquing. So when Robert Pattinson is announced as the next Batman, I did say, well, how's that going to work? Because if you look at him stature-wise... versus the other guys who have played the role in the past, even Michael Keaton, even Adam West, you look at Robert Pattinson and you're like, well, you don't really fit Batman. Like how he does fit Batman Beyond. And I was a big fan of the idea that this was going to be some kind of Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton returning as Bruce Wayne and an older Bruce Wayne trains Batman Beyond. However they worked it in, because they weren't going to do the exact Batman Beyond story, but something along those lines. I was excited about that. But now that we're getting a little bit deeper into the casting and some of the announcements, and then you sent me yesterday these rumored plot lines, I think I'm as excited as you are now.
Look... I will agree with Matt Reeves. The one side of Batman we haven't seen in any mainstream showing of him outside of maybe the animated series is the detective version of Batman, where he's actually doing investigating instead of just hand fighting with the Two-Face or whoever. And this one is basically what it's setting up to be. Like a crime happens, people start dying, so Batman starts running through all the known suspects, which is his rogues gallery of incredible villains. And basically he starts investigating and it leads him to whoever the ultimate bad guy is going to be in the film, which I'm pretty excited about.
And now we heard a rumor initially that this was going to be based on like The Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorite Batman stories. I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Now, how they were going to do it was going to be interesting, but I think if they go off from what you had sent me, it's going to be a clever way to do the Long Halloween concept.
Without doing the actual story or having to... Because, God, that would be a terribly long story to try to fit into 2 hours.
Right, but what you sent yesterday, if you kind of strip out a lot of it and just go from, like, what the concept of the plot is minus all of the added aspects to it, it fits.
Yeah.
And if that's the concept and they are using the Long Halloween, if you want to try to get all those villains in, this is a way to do it. Now, you know, you're changing a little bit of how the Long Halloween goes. Instead of the crime family, from what you sent, you insert mayors. So it changes some of those aspects, but it gives you an opportunity to, like you said, go through all of these villains and establish all of them and get them all into one movie without making it feel like Batman and Robin.
Yep. So, I'm pretty stoked about this. Pretty stoked about the rumors coming out about the new Spider-Man movie where Kraven might potentially be the main villain.
Oh, you're jumping around. I was like the Morbius thing still.
Oh, that's we're going still back to that. Yeah, that's, if they can tie the whole Sony Spider-Verse into the MCU, that would just be incredible too. But I mean, the things that are coming out in comic book movies right now is just incredible. You got DC's animated films, which were awesome. You got the mainstream big budget flicks that are blowing up. I mean, right now, even, if you're a nerd, it's an incredible time.
Even with Far From Home, we've kind of been in a lull as far as comic book movies go. Like, we had that huge explosion with Infinity War and Endgame, and now we've just kind of been in this weird holding pattern. Disney Plus is launching. We're going to see some stuff there. Black Widow's on the horizon, but again, Black
Harley
Widow's...
Harley Quinn.
Well, the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, the and the Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Whatever the hell, the
right,
full
yeah
25-word long
title. And maybe
title
that
is
one will surprise us a little bit, the way that Shazam did, but I don't think a lot of people are excited about what DC's cooking up right now. Even the Marvel movies between Far From Home and Black Widow were kind of just like, well, yeah, they're Marvel movies, but you set the bar up here. You kind of got to give us a little bit more at this point. But we'll see what happens. So
all I know is I am pumped. There's just a lot of great stuff coming down the pike, and it's all going to be here before we know it.
All right, let's get to... We're going to tell a story. We're going to reach into this Chewbacca cup and this head, and we're going to pull out a topic that neither of us know about. This is an easy one, I think. This asks what our favorite year for GeekCon has been, 2015, 16, 17, 18, or 19. So the first 5 years of GeekCon, what has been your favorite?
Ooh. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Is it? I mean, I guess it's only tough if you consider what you're looking at for what makes it your favorite year.
Well, I'm trying to think of what year I had the most fun at. The year we had George Perez was pretty incredible. What was that, 2016?
That would have been 16, yep.
And 17 was pretty awesome, just interviewing Billy West and getting to kick it with him for a little while. But hell, our first year where we had Jeremy London
and Peter Mayhew.
And Peter Mayhew, where he spoiled Star Wars for us, that was kind of awesome. I mean, we've just I don't know if I can pick just one, because each year there was something where it was like, God, that was great.
I'm part of me leans towards last year, just because last year was so gigantic. But I'm weird because I don't really get a lot of guest interactions because I'm usually working with a whole lot of other things.
Although it is kind of hard to top LeVar Burton serving everyone barbecue like the house mom. God, we just had so many cool stuff.
I actually think 2016. If I'm going to pick a year, I'm going to pick 2016. And I'm going to pick it because I got to meet George Perez, and I got to get an all-time legendary Deadpool cover with the Infinity Gauntlet. I got to meet Elvira and do her panel, do the interview, which was a spontaneous surprise event.
And you named her book.
Got to, still waiting on residuals. So two things that I need. I need my residuals from Elvira, and I need my sweater back from Sam J. Jones. If I can facilitate those two, that'd be great. Cash or credit. There was something else that was in my mind before you tossed that out about 2016 that I enjoyed. I don't know. 2016 to me just kind of feels like it was...
Eric Estrada playing with his wig was fun.
That wasn't 16, though.
Oh, no, that was 17, because that was with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah. So, I mean, 16, yeah, I think I'd pick 16, with 19 being pretty close behind.
I think 16 or 17, I think, would be it for me.
Why aren't we saying 18? What was 18? Mick Foley! Oh, man, 18 was good, too.
All of them are good. All of them have been great, actually. But trying to pick my favorite, hanging with George Perez for an entire 4 days was pretty incredible. Just watching that dude draw and still be excited about comic book characters that he created 30 years ago, and I'm sure it hears about every single day of his life, but still being pumped for it. That was just cool. He was an awesome guy to be around. Super sweet. But I don't know, man. It's so hard.
Now I'm literally going to geekcon.com right now to look at the lineup from 2016, because there's something else about that show.
I know what year is my favorite. I got a definitive answer.
Okay.
2020, because it's going to be the best year yet.
You are Oh, I don't
that either. Wasn't a joke. You know what we got on the board.
Oh, you know what I totally forgot about? This is Brian O'Halloran in 2016 as well.
Oh, yes.
So Brian O'Halloran, and actually Kathy Najimy was super sweet. Some travel issues, but she was the best. So, yeah, 2016 is going to be my answer.
I'm still sticking with 2020 because I know I'm going to meet my new best friend this year.
This is that's the worst idea ever. But 2018, there was something else that was cool that year. Oh, Dana Snyder was awesome in 2018. Okay.
I ran into him at the bar.
We could keep talking about this for the rest of the day, but we're not going to do that. We're going to wrap things up. Tickets will be going on sale soon for GeekCon. The date has been announced. It'll be March 13th. And the week of tickets going on sale on the 13th, we are going to unload a ton of guest announcements.
And I think we were kind of kicking around the idea of making a surprise, quote unquote, guest announcement before that to kind of steamroll the thing right here on the podcast, weren't we?
We're probably going to make quite a few guest announcements before that. And one of them I've given in. Sure, you'll be able to make a guest
yes.
announcement on a future podcast.
Yes.
It might be next week's. It might be the week after. So you're just going to have to keep downloading the podcast.
Definitely next week. Definitely next week.
And
I'm doing it. Whether he gives me permission or not.
Download
I'm keep
the
interrupting him.
GeekedCon app. Well, you shouldn't interrupt this part. This is your part. Why don't you go ahead and do the app thing?
GeekedCon.com. I just do the InfoWars thing now, man.
Oh, that's right. That's how you end everyone. All right. So keep interrupting me with your Alex Jones as I tell everybody to download the GeekedCon app. You can get it in the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store. We will be sending out app alerts when we make the guest announcements. Now, when we make one on the podcast, we will not send that alert right away. We're going to let that one marinate. That'll sit on the podcast for a couple of days. It'll be the only place you'll hear about it. And then after the podcast has been published for you to download and listen to, we will make an app alert and we'll put it on our social media and make that announcement.
So, GeekCon.com.
All right. I'm going to let Alex Jones maybe get the last word in. I'm going to wait till the last time he does it, and then I'm going to cut it off and let the music fade. So next time he hits with one of those weird Alex Jones brain pill drops, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So I'm just going to keep
GeekCon.com.